got some milk on the front porch.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh. All right.
I haven't heard Pastor Kite.
Yeah, and he's the walk in the word tonight, right?
Yes, he is.
Maybe by the time we finish with the prayer and the song, he'll be on.
But you know, he'll never announce himself anyway, but that's my sweet, loving Pastor Reggie Kite.
He might be on now. He'll make a noise. He'll make a noise.
Is Percolate on? Because
no, Percolate's not on either. One more minute. Good evening. Welcome, caller. Hello. Hello? Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome, my boy.
Good evening. I will lift up my eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Truly,
amen.
This is the day the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and I am glad in it.
Amen.
So, good evening. It is August 27th, 2024, and it is 7 p.m., and we are ready for our walk in the Word. Welcome to the 3 P's and the E, preaching, prayer, praise, and equipping by teaching in accordance with Matthew 28, verses 19 through 24. So, on the behalf of Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, Events, Enlightenment, and Out of the Box Ministries, and supported by Minister Mary Whitfield, Thursday in the Scriptures, we welcome you to the call this evening. We're going to begin tonight with prayer. I have invited Deacon Percolator on, so sunshine, step in. Then we will be blessed with a song by Tracy. And our walk in the Word tonight will be by Pastor Reginald, the Professor Kuiper. We're ready.
Our Father. Lord God, we come this evening saying thank you. Lord, we're so grateful that you woke us up this morning. Lord, we thank you that you kept us all day long from any hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, we thank you that we are able to call into this prayer line tonight to hear a word from you. Lord God, we come asking in the name of Jesus that you forgive us for all our sins. God, we come right now lifting up the sick, the bereavement, and the shut in. Lord, I come right now in the name of Jesus praying for every household that's on this line tonight. I pray for every household that wants to call in, but for whatever reason they can't. Lord, we ask right now that you touch them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up Minister Singleton to you right now, Lord God. Continue to lead and guide her every step of the way. We lift up Pastor.
Yes.
Lord God, as he stands before your people and bring your word so diligent and so sweet, Lord God, we thank you for his willingness to teach us your word, Lord God. We lift up Apostle to you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch her, Lord God. Heal her body in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for everyone on here, Lord God. You know what we're standing in need of. I ask that you meet us at your point of your knees, God. Have your way in our life. Have your way in our minds, God. Lead and guide us, God, because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. But, Lord, depend and stand on your word.
Yes.
Going to be all right. So have your way this evening, God. Lord, we ask that lives be touched. Hearts be changed, Lord God. Lord, we love you this evening. We give you glory. We give you honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Good evening, everyone. This is Sister Tracy. I know I don't come on like I used to, but I give God praise this evening for allowing me to come and to bless you with a song. So if y'all would just sing along with me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Every time I turn around, He keeps on blessing me.
Yes.
Every time I turn around, He keeps on blessing me. Every time I turn around, He keeps on blessing me.
Yes.
He's blessing me over and over again. 'Cause every time I turn around, the Lord keeps blessing me.
Right on.
Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me.
Yes.
Every time I turn around, He keeps on blessing me. Yes. He's blessing me over.
Yes.
He's blessing me over.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
He's blessing me over. Thank you, Lord. He's blessing you over. And over again. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
blessing me over and over again. Thank you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our voices today. Thank you, Lord, for our early rising today.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the prayer that went forward this evening. Lord, I thank you for the song of praise
to
call you tonight, Lord. We call upon your name this evening. We love you, Lord. You keep on blessing us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our God, our rock, our strong tower, our sustainer, our deliverer. Father, we just love you, God.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We lift our voices to you. We lift our hearts to you. We lift our hearts and our souls and our mind to you, Lord. Let us glorify you, Father, in the earth. Father, we just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come before you tonight Thank you, my sisters, for the prayer and song of praise. We just bless the name of our Lord tonight. Surely our God is worthy of praise, and we want to continue, Father, on this walk and this journey that we're on through the book of Romans. Hallelujah. This is a masterpiece epistle written by the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. As he wrote it toward the end of his third missionary journey, as he wrote this epistle, it has blessed our hearts so much as we move forward. And, Father, we want to walk through it, Father. We walk through the word. Hallelujah. We walk through it, Father, tonight. We just thank you all for being on the line, all the saints that's on the line tonight. We just pray that we can bless you all tonight as we continue our walk in the word. Our God has been so often to us, and just getting caught up in worship and praise, we just thank our God tonight for all that he's done for us. Hallelujah. As we reflect back on last week as we were in chapter 7, hallelujah, we talked about being released from the law so that we can be bound to our Lord Jesus Christ. We serve God in a new way, the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code, the law. Paul uses as an analogy in chapter 7 of a married woman whose husband died. And when he died, she was released from the law that bind her to a husband in marriage and is free to marry another man. We too have died when it comes to the law because of our connection with the body of Jesus Christ. We died with Christ in his death, which frees us to be joined to Christ so we can bear the fruit in this life for our God. The law could not resolve the problem of our sin. It only could arouse the sinful passions and cultivate the fruit of death in us. Even so, the law, as Paul tells us, is good because the law is spiritual. Hallelujah. It reveals the sin of our flesh, the sin in us. Yet we delight in God's law, even though another law is at work in us. Yeah, that law of sin. In our minds, we are slaves to God's law. But in our sinful flesh, we seem to be slaves to the law of sin. But we thank God that we are delivered from death's grip of sin through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. So as we think about the struggle that Paul had in chapter 7, as he was going through his struggles with the old and the new man, he talks about that struggle, that sinful nature of the flesh. But yet he gives the answer, "O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from the body that has to die, this body of this death?" But he thanked God that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are delivered. In our minds, we serve the law of God, but in our flesh, the law of sin. As we move into chapter 8, hallelujah, it's really connected. And I just want to say here that the scripture, hallelujah, back during that time, they did not have chapter and verse. So sometimes the chapters and verse help us to locate scripture, to recall scripture, to understand scripture, and to divide it. But they did not have these chapters and verses as we do today. This was a letter, a lengthy epistle. So as some thoughts carry from one chapter to another, we will move from one chapter into the next chapter. So as he comes at the end of chapter 7, it is a segue into chapter 8. Yes. So as we look at this, we're going to start. I'm going to read, and I'm asking Dr. Singleton, she will be our reader tonight. I'm going to read, just to get us started, the last part of chapter 7, and then we will go into our reading of the scripture. And we have broken this down into about 7 sections tonight. We're praying that we will get through chapter 8 tonight in the time that we have. We also are praying that you will be jotting down the thoughts that you hear as you listen to the scriptures being read, that you would jot down whatever God puts in your spirit so that you might be edified and you might be want to share with us as we finish the lesson. Also, we would ask that you be mindful that as we move into the coming weeks, we hope to be able to get through chapters 9 and 10 a little faster because of what the topic is there. So we'll see what God is going to do to us. But tonight, we're in chapter 8. Chapter 8 is a jewel of the whole book. Since we did break it down into chapters, we have it that way in our Bibles. It is a beautiful part. This is probably the pinnacle. This is a turning point. This is a high point in this book as we'll be going through this and seeing all the powerful things that Paul is laying out before the church at Rome and to us today as the church and body of Christ. So let me just read the last couple of verses as I segue, and then Dr. Singleton will come and take us into chapter 8 reading of the scripture. I will read starting in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Dr. Singleton.
Good evening to each of you that are joining us in our walk in the Word. As we begin reading our scripture and tag teaming with Pastor Kiefer on tonight, I just want us, if you would, you can refer to your handout that was provided to you some time ago. If you would go to page 18 and page 19 and 20, it gives you some other nuggets as we walk through chapter 8 on tonight. Our handout that was provided on page 18 and 19 and 20 provides us nuggets for tonight. But one of the things, Pastor Kiefer, if you don't mind me sharing, is that as I looked at this chapter, chapter number 8, I saw, and you shared this with me earlier today, as looking from the standpoint of living a victorious life as a believer. Living a victorious life as a believer, as we look at chapter 8, as well as living the life of the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us as believers, and then looking at whether or not we are pleasing God and whether or not we know that we have been changed. So I'm just so thankful for this walk tonight as we look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the disciple that is there to assist us in living this victorious life, because we cannot do it on our own. Romans chapter 8, reading from the Amplified tonight, and it reads, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong. For those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. The entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemns sin in the flesh subdued it, overcame it, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Verse number 4, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, our lives being governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but our lives as disciples of Christ are being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Pastor Kite.
Amen. What a powerful, that amplifies it to us, so powerful. Let me pick out a few nuggets, Dr. Deb, as we look at these four verses. And listen, there's no condemnation. Remember, this Paul was struggling in the previous chapter, wretched man, who shall save him? Well, now that he knows that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And I want to say to us tonight, some people live with condemning thoughts in their mind of past things that they have done, things that other people won't let them forget, dredging up their past. They know that they've been saved by grace through their faith, but yet people bring up your past. And sometimes in your own mind, you may not feel worthy and be self-condemning to yourself. Well, Paul does let us know that there is no condemnation, and that condemnation has to do with those who are lost, who may be on their way to hell. But for those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Yes, because of the law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. So we'll see as we move to chapter 8 the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us power over sin. Yes, the law shows us where we sin. The law itself is a set of rules and guidelines. But the law itself is not powerful enough to help us because we can choose to do wrong. But the Spirit, once we are in Jesus Christ and we have received the Holy Spirit brings to us the idea of knowing that we can overcome the sinful flesh as we bring it to subjection to the Spirit. And so when Jesus Christ, who came and took on this flesh to be a sin offering for us, sacrifice, in order that we might be set free from the condemning nature of the law, set us free in order that we can be righteous. We are declared righteous before the God. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law for us. It is met fully in Jesus. Hallelujah. So we don't live according to our flesh. Our flesh is always with us. It always craves for things. And there's nothing wrong with the flesh craving because God put us in flesh. It's when the flesh is outside the boundaries of God's will and God's law for us. Even if we go back to the Garden of Eden and we see Adam and Eve given direction by God, what they could eat and what they could not eat. The desire to eat is a natural desire. These desires that God has given us are natural desires, but God has given us guidelines, guardrails, parameters to keep us safe. But in their sinful nature, their desire to go beyond the lust of the flesh, the lust of their eyes and the pride of life, to want to see something that looks good, to want it, to be deceived by the enemy, that they could be like God. God was trying to keep something from them. He deceived them that it was something more. But yet God had already spoken what it is that they were to do. So we too, we had to have a second Adam to break that off. And so now that he has come, Christ has come, Holy Spirit has come to reside in us, to guide us, we live according to the Spirit of God as saints. Let us not let our flesh overcome our lives, but let us live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to be a comforter, but also it came to help us, to make us holy. So let us submit to the power of the Spirit in our lives. Dr. Singleton, your thoughts.
Amen. Pastor Kiefer, right in line with what you have shared concerning the role of He, Holy Spirit, in our lives, one is, as you say, He dwells in us. We as believers, those that have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, those of us who understand what Acts 2:38 says, once we repent, He, Holy Spirit, comes in to live on the inside of us. And we have to understand the role of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit ministers truth to us, how the Holy Spirit brings direction and guidance, Mark 13:36, how He, Holy Spirit, gives us life and gives life. We see that right there in Romans 8:1, as we have already read. We see the function of the Holy Spirit inviting us to walk with Him right there in Romans 8:4-5. The importance of the believer to understand that Jesus went to the Father and He asked the Father, send them another like me, one that will dwell on the inside of them. And so, again, we see the role of He, Holy Spirit, in the life of the believer. We cannot live victorious or triumphant lives without the presence of He, Holy Spirit, functioning on the inside of us. And the only way He, Holy Spirit, can function is through our surrendering, through our submission, and through our walking in obedience. So tonight, I'm elated as we look at and look at the functions of He, Holy Spirit, and how the Holy Spirit, if we will allow it to, it will dictate our lives. It will order our steps. And it will show us, not only that, we'll see later on, Pastor Kiefer, how it shows us who we are, our new identity. I got a new identity card, you all. I'm not the old person that I was prior to salvation, prior to giving my life to Christ, but how He, Holy Spirit, puts to death the deeds of the flesh in my body, the deeds of the flesh in my mind. But I must submit, I must surrender, and I must walk in obedience. As we continue, pick it up at verse 5, walk with us tonight, disciples of Christ, living this victorious life as a believer. Verse 5 says, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh, the pleasures. But those who are according to the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, and are controlled by the desires of the capital S-P-I-R-I-T, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death, death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But notice this right there in verse number 6. You see the but. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul, peace, both now and forever. That is, verse 7, that is because the mind of the flesh, which is carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Verse number 8. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But you, verse 9, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the capital S-P-I-R-I-T Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, that means directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ, is not truly a child of God. Wow. Verse 10. But, B-U-T, but if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. That's why we can say we're the righteousness of God, not because of what we have done, but because of the finished works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Verse number 11. And if the spirit of him, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, then he who raised up Jesus Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But all, notice this word, but. We see this throughout the scripture, all through tonight. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Amen. Amen. Pastor Kiefer, just amen. Observing these few verses, amen. Looking at what it means to live in the life of the Spirit of God, looking at what it means to live pleasing God, not out of our fleshly nature. Looking at how we are called to live and allowing the Holy Spirit to live in us to be the disciple Christ has called us to be. What a powerful scripture as he talks about, but if Christ lives in me, he lives in me via he, Holy Spirit. And how, when I allow, again, submit, surrender, and walk in obedience, putting to death the flesh and not gratifying those carnal lusts and pleasures and desires, I can't do this alone. I can't do this on my own. But I have Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, dwelling on the inside of me, that I got power over the flesh. Pastor Kuiper.
Amen. Such a powerful section.
Lord Jesus.
Just hearing the scripture, so powerful. Listen, yes. Saints on the line, if you're taking notes, if you're writing anything down, I want to say on the first four verses, you should write something down that says, I am not condemned because I'm in Christ and I live according to the Spirit. But this passage here from verses 5 to 13, in my mind, Dr. Singleton, I see we're living through the Spirit. So even in my mind, I ask a question. What's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Starting with verse 5, I counted at least 5 or 6 times that Paul used the word mind.
Yes.
Have their mind set on.
Yes, yes.
Have their mind set on. What is your mind set on? What is your mind governed by? What is your mind governed by? And what is your mind set on? Is it set on flesh desires? Is your mind set on the Spirit? Or is it set on what the Spirit desires of you? So what is your mind on? So I pose a question to us tonight. Let's keep our minds on Jesus. Let us keep our mind on spiritual things. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Yes, let's keep our minds on him. What is your mind on? That's one of the things that I got, Dr. Singh and Deacon Connor, as I walk through this. It's something about where we put our mind. What governs us? What regulates our mind? The Spirit, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit comes to be a mind regulator. It helps us mm-hmm. to regulate our mind. And those of you who worked on cars, or maybe some men on the phone that worked on cars, maybe some women who worked on, they know what a regulator is. It's mm-hmm. the power regulator. It keeps us on balance, the power flowing through the car, regulating the power. We need something to regulate the power of God in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And for those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Now that doesn't say that we live in this fleshly body. When he's talking about the realms, he's talking about the participation in those things that are not of God that our flesh yes. wants to do.
Yes.
Yeah, we cannot please God by living in our fleshly desires that don't please God. And I definitely want to make sure that we don't think that some of our desires are not okay, because some of these desires are carried out within the boundaries, as I said, that God has given us. Yes, the next thing, Dr. Singh, and I was looking at this is, you know, since we don't live in this realm of the flesh, but we're in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in us, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But those of us that do, we are. So I would pose the question that comes to my mind, are you born again? Have you been born of the Spirit?
No.
We all should be able to reflect on a point in time in our journey where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit came to us. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. We had that experience to know that we are born again, born of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit in us gives us the power to live this life that God has called us to do. We are his because of the Spirit that's in us, being born again. And so the last thing that I want to point out in this section, and it's so much here. As you were reading, it's just so much in the Amplified that brings it out. Brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to our fleshly desires. We live according to the Spirit. So if by the Spirit, the text tells us that we put to death the misdeeds of the body, we're going to live. So life is in bringing this flesh under subjection to the Spirit. And I know y'all are hearing this theme over and over, but this is what we need to be reminded. When we wake up, what's on our mind? when we go through the day, what's on our minds when we're trying to walk this journey, this victorious life? What is on our mind? We are not slaves to sin. Paul told us earlier, we're slaves to righteousness. So when I'm dealing with something that's in a negative, sinful nature, what I need to do is replace it with a righteous thought, a righteous conversation, something that I say that's of God to overshadow, to cancel out what the flesh may be enticed to. So, Dr. Singleton, saints on the line, we want to live in the Spirit. We want to be controlled by the Spirit. We want to not walk according to our fleshly nature, our sinful desires. So let us continue in that light. Those are my nuggets. And hopefully if you wrote down this section, say to yourself, I'm living through the Spirit of God a victorious life. Dr. Singleton.
Amen. Yep. And Pastor Kuiper, just to come alongside you, I'm going to give another scripture reference. If we would go over to Colossians chapter 3, and right there, as you talked about what we need to set our minds on, and just a few verses from there, it tells us, if then you have been raised with Christ, meaning to a new life, thus share his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse number 2 says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. And if you would continue to read Colossians chapter 3, as I say, as a reference, it talks about, again, the things that we have to kill, the things that we have to deprive the power of, the evil desires that lurks in the members of our bodies. We have to work at it. We have to work at killing it. We have to work at taking the power from it, that in the morning I don't go get up with that on my mind, with these type of appetites on my mind, but I get up with my mind set on serving the Lord, set on living a holy life, set on living a life of righteousness. So if we read Colossians chapter 3, it's a powerful scripture that talks about it, shows us how to put it to death, the old, but then it also shows us what we need to put on and how we need to clothe ourselves with a new spiritual self and how we need to be renewed and how we need to be remodeled and how we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Even if we went to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it talks about the transformation of what? The mind. I have to move from my old master, my old dance partner. I got a new dance partner. I got a new master. I'm ruled by someone else. And so for me to understand that, I got to get into the Word of God. I got to get into the manual. I got to get into the Constitution to understand what does it mean by allowing the Holy Spirit. What does it mean that we are to be holy, for he is holy? So this scripture to me, again, just comes alive and helps me. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. It helps me in terms of what I need to put to death and not allow my flesh to dictate who I am. When I get upset, don't let the flesh dictate how I respond. If I get angry, don't let the flesh dictate how I respond. When I'm depressed or going through disappointment, don't let my flesh dictate how I respond, but allowing He, Holy Spirit, to function in my life to produce the kind of fruit that He's calling me to produce in my life. That's there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. So I know we hit the same points again and again, but we as disciples must understand, you all, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The power of the Holy Spirit. And my question too tonight, along with Pastor Kuiper, will you allow the Holy Spirit to come alive in your life? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you? Will you and I allow the Holy Spirit to give us the power to be able to put to death the deeds of the flesh? Amen. Amen. Go continue to read on Pastor Kuiper. Amen. Picking up at verse number 14, and I'm going to ask if you would please write down your notes tonight. How does this resonate with you? Because we see Holy Spirit over 20 times being called out in this scripture, him dwelling inside of a believer, living on the inside. But I'm going to say something tonight. You can have Holy Spirit, but you know what? You can let it lay dormant. You can just act on your own, respond on your own, give answers on your own. But let me tell you, if you will allow, turn on the switch, it's just like having Georgia Power connected to your house. You got the power, you paid the bill, but you never turn on the light. We walk around in darkness. But tonight, I want to turn the switch even more on by allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in my life. Oh, the Holy Spirit is functioning. He functions. Verse 14, I'm going to pick it up.
Before you go, Dr. Singh, I just got to get that in case it just dropped in my spirit. You know, you have the Holy Spirit in. Yes, Lord. And if you have the Holy Spirit, he's there. But if you're not letting him to operate and have power in your life, it's like car being in neutral. You ain't going nowhere. Until you put it in drive, you can't move. So we need to let the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, put us in drive. Like you say, engage the power that we have so that we can move forward. Amen. Just wanted to throw that in. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm glad you did, Pastor Kuiper, because it gives me the understanding I'm being led that we need to talk more about the function of the Holy Spirit, because we only look at it from certain pieces, but the Holy Spirit, you all, is functioning in all areas of our lives, how he gives gifts, how he shows us things to come, how he releases prophecy, how he releases dreams, how he releases visions. We as disciples must understand the function and how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. We're going to see more about the Holy Spirit right here in this scripture. We're going to see more about his function and how he, how the identity, how we get a new identity through the spirit of adoption. So we're going to keep reading. Thank you so much, Pastor Kuiper. I love that. Staying in neutral is not where I want to be. I want to be in drive as it pertains to he, Holy Spirit, operating in my life. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are, notice this, are sons of God. For the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-T, which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. But you have received, notice this, you all, notice this is a part of our identity. This is a part of my new identity, that I have received the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, Sister Maddie, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship, and the bliss of which we cry. We can cry, you all, this evening, Abba, Father. We can cry out because guess what? We have been adopted into the family of God. And when you have been adopted, there is an official paperwork that is done. And you transfer from being a child that was in an orphanage, a child that was left that no one wanted. But when this spirit of adoption comes, I now have a father. I now have a family. I now belong. Notice this. We have a new identity. We are no longer sinners. But notice, we are the spirit of adoption, part of God's family. And that means something, you all, because that means I got some benefits, Pastor Kuiper, because I'm a part of the family of God. But not only, I don't want us to walk away tonight just to look at your benefits, But I want us to understand we have some responsibilities as well. Let me go on. Verse 16. The Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. You got to know who you belong to. There are children who have been left at the hospital, children have had children, or adults who have had children and they didn't want them and they left them there in the hospital, or they left them on the step of a neighbor. They left them. But God wants us to know tonight that we are his children and God takes care of his children. This means something to me tonight. Verse 17, and if we are his children, Pastor Kuiper, then we are his. We are heirs, H-E-I-R-S. Also, notice this, we are heirs of God, and we are fellow heirs. And when you read it from the King James Version, it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Oh, and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing, notice this in verse 17, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. I want to share his inheritance. Notice this. I'm connected to Christ Jesus. Yes. I'm a joint heir. Do we understand what this whole idea of being an heir is? Come on, Pastor Kuiper. I want you to talk to us about what does it mean to be an heir? And what does it mean to be a joint heir with Christ? What does it mean to share in his inheritance with him? And only we must share his suffering. See, we got to understand there is some suffering on this journey. But if we're going to share in his glory. Oh, look at my inheritance. I can read my will. See, mom and daddy might have a will on the paper leaving you a piece of money, leaving you a piece of land, leaving you a house or whatever. But notice what I got in heaven. Notice what's been stored up for me. Notice what's in the safe deposit box. My inheritance, because I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I've been adopted in the family. I'm not going to be disowned. I'm a part of the family of God. Come on, Pastor Kuiper. Amen.
Watch out, doctor. Stay in there with me now. Hallelujah. Saints on the line. This is so powerful. Ooh, that goodness. Word. There's so much in that. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, I don't even know where to start on that. But I do want to say, before I get started here, because of time, I know, Dr. Deb, we will not be able to complete this chapter tonight. I think this piece right here, we're going to conclude with this piece as we talk to this so we can open up the line and give people a chance to give their thoughts and their response to the word tonight. Listen, for those that are led by the Spirit of God, we are children of God. Yes. He talks about this. He's letting us know that we're children of God. If we were born into this family, we were birthed. That's what the new birth is about, being born again. We were birthed into this family by the Spirit of God. We are his children. And the Spirit, it's not to be slaves. No, we are not slaves. We are children of his. And the power of adoption, I'm just going to touch these points in my mind as the Spirit is giving me right now. The power of adoption. You said it took a legal decree. It took a legal document to be adopted. You can be born in the flesh. This is why he's talking to them, because Israel would assume that because they're birthed into the nation that they're automatically of God's children. No, that's not true. Listen, my brothers and sisters, I could testify that I had a young lady that worked for me who considered herself a Jew. She was of Jewish family heritage, but she was a Jewish atheist. How do you know, Pastor Kuiper? Because I talked to her. I said, well, she was in a situation. I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. She said, no, don't pray for me. Listen to me, saints. Just because some people will say that, we are all God's children. That's not true. You have to be born into this thing. You have to be led by his Spirit. And to be led by the Holy Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit residing in you. Listen, and because we are children through the power of adoption, the power of adoption brings about a stronger bond than even the natural child. That's what he's letting us see. Adoption.
Yes.
We are adopted. Listen, a legal decree. It'd take a law to change the adoption power that we have. We have the same rights and power as the other children in the family. I remember being in the church sometimes and Dr. Singleton is talking about, you know, being a child of God. I said, I'm in God's family. I know I've been gone for 15 years roaming around, but I came back home. I know I'm in God's family. I may not be the best of the crop. Paul said he was the least of the apostles, of sinners who he was chief. But I'm in the family, and can't nobody put me out because I've been adopted. Listen to what I'm saying. You can't put me out because I've been adopted. There's no condemnation. Because I'm in Christ Jesus, and I walk after the Spirit, not after my flesh. Listen, because I'm his child, because you know how you feel about your children. You know how you feel about your children. And children, you know how you feel about your parents, you know, especially your father. He says, because that we can cry to our father, Abba, Daddy, can you hear me? I need you right now. Daddy, would you help me? Daddy. My daughter called me Daddy. Daddy. I know she wants something when she say Daddy. Listen, Papa, Father, this is a term of endearment. This is relationship. Relationship. We have a relationship with our God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are his children. Y'all should know and testify inside of you know that you're God's child. Don't let anybody trick you. Don't let anybody deceive you. You know that you're his child. And if we're his children, we should act like we heirs. Heirs to the promises of God. But you know, we have this thing about suffering. Christ says, if any man come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. We are following Christ. We're joint heirs with him. But Dr. Singer, I'm going to let you go ahead and close in with that part because, like I said, I know we're not going to get through this chapter. This is a good place to do our summary. But go ahead, Dr. Singer, your thoughts. Amen.
Amen, Pastor Kuiper. I've given all that has been given to me on tonight as it speaks to the function of He, Holy Spirit, that dwells on the inside of us. And we as disciples can live a victorious life by allowing Holy Spirit to come alive on the inside of us. We can please God. We can by renewing our mind through the Word of God. And I'm talking about daily. We have to wash our minds. We have to set our minds on those things that is of God. I love it, again, as it talked about my new identity, and people hear me always talking about this, my new identity in Christ Jesus. But I have to remind myself, I don't know about you, that I am adopted, that I am an heir, that I am a co-heir, that I have been justified. And it is because of the finished work at Calvary. Let us understand it's not anything that we can do, but it's the finished work at Calvary that made this possible for me to be a part of the kingdom of God. It is my acceptance of of Romans 10 as we look at it, 9 through 13, as we look at Acts 2 and 38, as we look at John 3:16, we have to make sure we are in a time that we need to make sure that we share the plan of salvation with clarity. But those in our family, those that are around us, understand that they too can be a part of the family of God. Pascal, you took me to Nicodemus when you talked about being born again. Remember when Nicodemus went to Jesus by night and he had questions to ask him, and then Jesus didn't address what he wanted him to address, I don't believe. He addressed what was needed and what was necessary. He said that you must be born again. What was Nicodemus coming? Nicodemus said, how can a man, old as I am, I could see in his mind, go back into my mother's womb a second time and be born. But Jesus was talking about a birth. He was talking about not the sack birth, but he was talking about a new birth, a birth in the spirit, being filled with the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that will keep us and guide us and lead us and that will operate on the inside of us. My question tonight, I'm coming alongside you as well, Pastor, is do you know you've been changed? Do you know that you're born again? Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Are you activating the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you allowing Holy Spirit to take over your thoughts and your mind, how you respond? How you deal with situations, how you walk in forgiveness, how you walk in love. Because I'm going to tell you something. He, Holy Spirit, if he lives on the inside of you, I want you all to know this, that he has brought to us the fruit of the Spirit. Again, that Galatians chapter 5, I want you to write it down tonight. That he, Holy Spirit, if he lives in us, we have the fruit of the Spirit living on the inside of us. And we have to allow it to come alive. So tonight, this is what this scripture does for me. It reminds me of who I got on board. It reminds me. See, many of us got GPS, and I'm one who gets lost all the time. So I have to put coordinates in my GPS. But when I bring Holy Spirit being my divine GPS, I'm not the one, Deacon Connor, putting the coordinates in. I'm not the one putting in the address. It's the Holy Spirit that's putting in the address. It's the Holy Spirit that's putting in the coordinates. It's the Holy Spirit that's leading me. It's the Holy Spirit that's guiding me. It's the Holy Spirit that's ministering to me. So tonight, again, we open this session up for those of us that have read these scriptures and may have heard the Holy Spirit speak to you and for you to be strengthened on knowing that you got help. See, too many times we say, my help. We got the help. We got what we need. We have to use it. We have to exercise it. We have to walk in it. And if I'm going to be holy, you all, it's not me going to a church that may have holiness on it. It's not going to a church that has righteousness on it and godliness on it. It's a matter of getting into this word and living in this word, walking in this word, and allowing the word, you all, to direct my conduct and direct my speech. Thank you again. Amen. Amen. Back over to you, Deacon Connor. We are open now for questions, comments, how this has resonated with you, and how you can give a testimony tonight on how the Holy Spirit may have just stopped you today. You were approached by someone, or a situation may have occurred, and you saw the Holy Spirit work in your life. Also, how this knowing your identity, your new identity, those on the line, knowing that you are adopted in the family of God and that you are heir and that you are going to receive, you have received eternal life. You're walking and living in it now. But, oh, I love that last part. We don't want to talk about it, y'all. But it says, only we must share in his suffering. And we are going to share in his glory. What's the suffering? The suffering many times is those who don't want to hear the word of God, who don't want to hear words of correction, who don't want to hear what the word of God says. That's some suffering there. Some that may delete you, some that may ghost you, some that says, you know what, you think you're better than someone else. No. I love you enough to tell you what the word of God said, not what I say. What does the word say? So I want us to understand we must share his suffering if we are going to share his glory. But Pastor Kipe, I know we didn't hit it, but I'm going to read it. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Y'all, this is just for a short time. This is just a suffering. It's just for a short period of time. But know this, in the midst of it, God promised me that he would never leave me. He promised you that he would never forsake you. Even in the midst of your trials, your tribulations, even in the midst of the waters, he said he'll be there with you. In the midst of the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. In the midst of the fire, you'll come out and not looking like, smelling like what you've been through. So notice this. We got to consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Kyle, for walking us through the word tonight. Now we are open to just share tonight on what captured you tonight about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us and what we are called to do. Amen.
Amen. Put out your notes. Put out your nuggets. Who has suffered and been renewed? Good evening. Been a wonderful time in the woods. Put two preachers on me tonight. It was a wonderful time, and it's been true and correct what they were saying. But my insert is, it's me, O Lord. We aren't saved in grasp by knowing the commandments of God. Because we can't and don't keep them. But God put into effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours. Except that ours are sinful, destroy your sin over us by giving himself a sacrifice. And we can obey God's law if we have the Holy Spirit and no longer obey the old nature within us. It's not my sister, it's not my brother, but it's me, O Lord. God is
standing.
Responsibility for ourselves. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Uncle John. Amen. Come on, sister.
Minister Singleton and Pastor Kipe, I wanted to bring this out coming from verse 5 through 6. Paul divides people into two categories. Those who are dominated by their sinful nature and those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. All of us would be in the first category if Jesus hadn't offered us a way out. Once we have said yes to Jesus, we will want to continue following him because his way brings life and peace. Daily, we must consciously choose to set our lives on God. We got to use his word to discover God's guidelines and then follow him. In every perplexing situation, we must follow God.
Amen.
What will we do if Jesus asks us what it is to do? When the Holy Spirit points us out what is right, we must do it eagerly for our sinful nature versus our new life in Christ. So we must listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit. We got to be at peace. We got to be still, and we got to listen for the Holy Spirit and God's direction. And that will give us peace. That's what I wanted to bring out.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
I couldn't hear you, but y'all had to bear with me with reading.
That's all right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And Minister, you also went to Colossians 3, verse 3 through 15. You can read the whole thing. Also,
yes,
they can go to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I didn't read it all. I just glanced at it, and it just hit me coming along with this verse.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What a mighty nugget that you brought forth on tonight, Sister Jan, because it is so important, again, the role of He, Holy Spirit, in our lives and our submitting and listening to it so that we will not gratify the flesh. Oh, hey, that was a mighty nugget. Thank you so much.
You know, my foot was shaking. I couldn't wait to get to that, but I wanted to wait till everybody else finished. I had to bring it out. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Pastor Kuiper, here's another thing, too, we see is the maturing disciple. The maturing disciple, the one that is growing in the word, allowing Holy Spirit to come forth and going into the scriptures and digging to see what is it that God is saying. See, the thing is, the way I learned how to play basketball, and I know you all are not going to believe this, Deacon Connor's not going to believe this, I used to referee basketball games and over in Warner Robins at the rec center, and I knew nothing about refereeing basketball. But guess what I did? I went and read the manual. I went and researched, understood what double dribbling is, what traveling, all of those things. So if I would go to the extent of learning how to referee basketball, learning how to cook from a book, a recipe book, how many times we pass by our Bible on our table and we look at it and don't open it up? If I'm going to understand, as Sister Jan was talking, how to please God, then I got to open the book. I got to open the manual. I got to open the Constitution. If I want to learn how to work on cars, guess what? I'm going to go to the library. I'm going to go to the internet and buy books that helps me understand how to change my oil, how to understand when a light comes on your car. The first thing we do, we go to that manual, don't we? What does that light mean right there? Oh, what does the flashing light mean? Oh, this. We go to our car manual. Well, when things happen in our lives, what manual do you go to? What constitution do you go to? What book do you read? We as disciples of Christ have been given the word, and I love it, Sister Jan. I want to hear even more. Bring it out, more scriptures and how it relates to this sharing of He, Holy Spirit, but most of all, how to live as the disciples God has called us to be. And as you said, Pastor Kuiper, not just living, but being victorious and being triumphant in our living. Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you again, Uncle John. I know there's more on the line. Someone else. I got some family in Alabama I know want to say something. Warner Robins, Macon family. Come on.
I want to say not only did she referee basketball, but she played third base on the softball team every year on our Liquid JK.
Amen. Amen. all I know, Dr. Deb, since I didn't get to see that, but if I had seen that, boy, I'd have had something to say. God bless you.
It was
God bless
you. Amen.
You got
anyone
to read
else?
The manual. You got to read the manual. Many times we want to be the best at something in the world, and we read the manual. We want to be the best on our job, so we go to training, leadership training, and all of these things. But I want to be the best at pleasing God. So be the best at it, meaning guess what? I got to make a choice. And that's what and I'm glad, Sister Jan, that's what it was that you brought to my mind. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me early morning before I taught a class today. It was speaking to me about choices. What choices are we making? Choices are we making? This is about choices. God doesn't take a magic wand, apostle, and hit us across our head and we got it all. The question is, what choices are you making?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just gonna leave that there. Go on.
And somebody else. We got to be able to receive it. The Holy Spirit. We got to be able to receive.
Come on now.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes. We have to be able to receive correction.
Yeah.
Direction.
That's
guidance.
Some of that suffering. That's some of that suffering. Cause we want to see the glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's
right.
Yes. Yes.
Suffering.
We like
suffering.
We like the finished product. We like the chocolate cake with the 3 or 4 layers. We like the finished product. But what did it take to get to the chocolate cake with the 4 layers?
Yes.
That had to be some stirring. That had to be some cracking up some eggs, some stirring, some sifting of flour, some a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But separated, it didn't taste good. But all together, it makes a three or four layer cake, chocolate icing on it. But it takes a whipping. It takes some cracking. It takes some sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to spend time? Are you willing to look, as Uncle John said, look in the mirror? It ain't my mother, my father, my brother. Is me.
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to look in the mirror at ourselves and say, you know what? Some of this stuff I've been doing is not God. It don't even align to the will of God. It's not according to the will of God.
You better talk, sister.
We have to analyze our lives based on the word of God. Pleasing God. I want to please God. But I have to die. I have to die to this flesh, to the pleasures and the lust and the desires. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. The flesh want to live. It wants to live.
Yeah.
It wants to live.
Yes,
so,
sir.
But put a pin there. Put a pin. Pastor Kuiper.
Amen. Y'all keep
on. Amen. Deacon Carter, back over to you to facilitate, sir.
Amen. Keep on stirring the pot. Amen.
Ooh, I've got 11 in a minute of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Oh, thank y'all so very much. Wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. That's catchy.
Amen. I apologize. I had a moment there that had you on mute there. But just powerful tonight. And just continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a blessing to hear Uncle John and Sister Jan, that powerful thing. We separate into two categories, those that in the spirit, those that are not walking in it. So we want to continue to do that. So God bless you all tonight. I had so many thoughts that run through my head, you know, as far as what God has done tonight. It's such an exciting time, everybody sharing. So we want to come back next week and just read the rest of chapter 8, Dr. Singleton has already touched on the suffering. We talked about the airship. We want to start there next week and expand from there and just see where Paul is taking us. Imagine Paul talking, writing this letter, and the people is being read to them. That's who we are in this journey. We're listening to what Paul has to say and being encouraged by his words. He talked about suffering because he realized that during that time there would be suffering. Persecution.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be persecuted even today for what we believe. We don't even have to worry about anything. As long as we're living for Christ, there's some things that's going to come our way, some suffering. So we have our own bodily suffering. We long for the redemption of our soul. And so we're going to get into those things next week. So I'm looking forward to next week, looking forward to hearing everybody on the line and knowing that other people are on the line, even though you may not be saying anything. We just pray that the word of God is touching you and blessing you. The power of God's Holy Spirit is moving in you and that you will be victorious. You will be living triumphantly. Say today, I am triumphant. I am an overcomer.
Yes.
And we
yes.
can live this life, hey, that we might live eternally with him. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for your comments, your nuggets, the notes that you have taken this evening. Thank you so very much. Wonderful presentation. Wonderful duo. I like that. Amen. Amen. So, we move on. It's been a couple of days since we last heard each other, so this evening, what has happened since Sunday that we are happy and to praise God about? Amen. Some of us have suffered and some of us have been renewed.
Yes.
Amen.
I don't know if Uncle John is still on, but I do want to share with the line. I want to thank all of you for sending cards to Aunt Laura. That's Uncle John's wife. And just thank you. Just coming alongside them, encouraging her as she walks through. We know Isaiah 53:4-5. We prayed that prayer and other prayers of healing, and the cards that you all sent. Just want to thank you so much and share with us on Sunday how much that has meant to her and how it has encouraged her. So I want to thank all of you for just stepping in and carrying out Matthew 25:35-40. That's a powerful scripture in the life of us as disciples of Christ. So you all did an awesome job. My understanding is she's got the cards everywhere in the house. She just got them lined up. And if you get an opportunity, if you want to drop another card in the mail to her or to others on the line that we have heard from that may be experiencing some type of challenge, let's do that as well. But I just want to pass that on and tell each of you all, thank you so much. We posted her address in our email or in our text message box, and you all were just absolutely overwhelming and getting cards and messages of kindness to us. So just thank you all so much.
Amen, amen. And we're not done yet. I got one to put in the mail tomorrow. We're not done yet.
Thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Anyone else? Prayer list.
Yes, sir, Deacon Connor. I have a prayer request for my friends in El Paso, Texas. Her husband's name is Rennie Dozier, and her name is Felicia. He went through an open heart surgery in March. He had to have another one in July. And the valve was leaking, and the second surgery they did on the valve, it started leaking. They said because his heart is not sitting the way other people's heart is sitting, it's kind of tilted. So they're going to have to do another surgery, but they're not going to open the heart, and they're going to go through one of the valves or vessels or whatever they have to go through, one of the arteries. And I tell you, he have really been going through. But I've been talking with her every day, praying with her, encouraging her, giving her scriptures and everything, and he's really having a hard time. So his name is Rennie Dozier. I would ask you to keep that family lifted up, Felicia and Rennie Dozier.
Amen. 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 Sister Jan.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Sister Jan, could you send me over the address for that family? Or I can send you the information for you to send to them. We want to encourage them.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm going to send you the address also.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I sure will.
Amen, amen. We're going to pray that everything turns out all right. Amen.
I believe it will. I'm a believing God. She had a little negative thought in her mind. I said, we're not going to think negative. I said, God didn't bring him this far to leave.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:4-5. Triumphant
yes,
and victory. Amen.
Yes,
Heal. H-E-A-L-E-D.
Yes, ma'am. I met them in Germany back in 1978.
Wow.
Hello.
Yes. And we traveled all over the world together, and we are still best friends. Yes.
Since 1978, I was in the Canal Zone, Panama.
Ooh, yeah.
Anyone else?
I ask that you all continue to pray for me.
Yes, Sister Ruby.
What name?
Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else? Okay. Scripture. Dr. Singleton.
Amen. Our scripture tonight, I want to go back over to Romans chapter 8 again and just hearing Sister Jan share with us the challenge as well as Sister Ruby and what's going on in many of our lives. But I want to remind us of something. What does the word say? It says in Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 37, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond doubt, I'm sure, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must walk in victory. We must know our identity, that we are children of God and that we have been adopted in the family of God, and God takes care of his children, and we are more than conquerors. Let's saturate our minds in what the word says about our situation and what the word says about who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Brenda?
Yes, sir, and also we want to keep Sister Ida Scriven on our prayer list. She had heart surgery today. Our Father, we come. First of all, asking your forgiveness for anything that I've done that's not like you. I come today, Lord, lifting up these, your people, lifting up the young man, Rennie Dozier, that we've been told about, and his wife, because we realize sickness, when you're in a family, the family goes along with you. We lift up that leaky heart. We're lifting up healing for it, Lord. Lifting, I know he's tired, he's been through two surgeries, but Lord, we turn him over to you, the one that can make all surgery perfect, that can make all healing perfect, that can make life perfect. We turn him over to you.
Yes,
Lord. And then, Lord, we lift up Ruby Dudley. You know Ruby.
Yes.
She got a full plate.
Mm-hmm.
Got a full house. She's got a full plate. We lift up Jig to you. We lift up Jig to you, Lord. We thank you for Ruby, for her services that she's rendered for so long to her brother. Oh, what a mighty God. It doesn't go unnoticed, Ruby. God sees it all. We thank you for all the services that you've done for your family. We lift up Jig to you right now. We lift up Ruby to you. We lift up healing for Ruby. She's sick herself. She's got an ache here and an ache there. But Lord, she keeps on blessing others. We lift her up to you right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Heal, Lord, if it be your will.
Heal, Lord.
And then, Lord, we lift up Ida Scriven. We thank you for what you've done for Ida, that you brought her through the surgery. And we lift up healing now for her body. And, Lord, we come lifting up ourselves to you that we would live holy and that we would let your Holy Spirit guide our lives to and from, in and out.
Yes.
Always, daily, morning through night. Let it not just be a once-a-week thing, but it'll be a daily thing.
Yes, ma'am.
That holiness would cover us from the top of our head all the way to the bottom of our feet. So, Lord, we come right now thanking you for the word. We thank you for this brethren, Brother Kiefer, Pastor Kiefer, right now in the name of Jesus. That has expounded on your words so beautifully. We lift him up that you would protect him and shield him as he goes to and from. Lord, so right now we thank you for all these that you've given us to bless us. We thank you for Minister Deborah as she goes to and from her daily walk with Jesus, with all the people she comes in contact with every day, giving them the word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Lord, we just give you praises and we give you glory. We give you thanks today, Lord, because we can't thank you enough. In the wonderful, powerful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Brenda. And thanks to everyone that was on the line tonight, beginning with our opening prayer by Sister Ruby Sunshine Dudley, the songstress, Sister Tracy. We thank you for being on with us tonight. Will you come back to hear us again?
She'll be back.
Amen.
Amen.
We enjoy.
Amen. Yeah, and we thank you for walking the word. What such a wonderful walk. Just set our souls on fire, stirred us up, and we just could not get out of the pot. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Kiefer. Appreciate you. And all the wonderful comments.
Amen.
Coming
amen.
From the group. Amen. Amen. So good night. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Pastor Kiefer, Dr. Singleton.
Good night, my brother.
Sunshine.
Good night.
So good night. Good night. Y'all have a good rest of the evening.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Good night. Sister Brenda, are you still on the line?
Good night, Mama.
Good night, Ruby.
Minister Singleton, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Add Miss James to the prayer list.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Sister Jean James. Oh, God, we know, God, we pray Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 that she is already healed, H-E-A-L-E-D, because your word says so. And we stand on your word and your promises. We thank you, oh, God, that she knows and her family knows who you are, that you are their shepherd and that you are watching over them. We thank you for the doctors that care, all the technicians, those that come in and out of the room, that God, that they would know that she is a woman of God, a child of the King. And Lord, we thank you right now. You know what's going on the inside of her body. Lord, we don't have to tell you how to handle it, how to do it. But one thing I do say, Lord, let us as the disciples of Christ surround that family, encourage them through the word, encourage them in our prayer closet by praying and interceding for them. Let us do what you called us to do, because you said that we would do greater works in John 14 and 12, greater works. Yeah. You said that we would lay hands on the sick and the sick would get well, that we will be able to speak and those that are blind can see and those that are deaf will be able to hear. I'm praying, God, that we as disciples will walk in our calling with the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us to carry out your mandate, carry out your will, and be the ambassadors you have called us to be. Thank you for this family. I'm thanking you for her healing right now. I'm thanking you for her healing right now. Not looking at what the doctor report says, not looking at this, but I'm looking at you, God, and what your word has said about Sister Jane. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jan.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Love you, ladies. Love you, gentlemen.
Love you.
Love you, too.